All right. Remember when we were talking in Philippians 1? Toward the end of it, we were talking about being one spirit and one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose us. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. One of the things I wanted to highlight last time we talked about this is that our bravery, because our dependence is on not what we see, but what we don't see. Our dependence is on the fact that we know God and we know His will. Our bravery in the face of opposition, our boldness, in spite of all the things that they think they can do to us physically, in spite of all the suffering that they'll put us through, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. Did you know that? Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. That's why we do not take up arms against them. That's why we do not retaliate against them. That's why we do not try to, you know, use what the Antichrist uses, flesh. Our dependence is upon God. Now, and this is where it tells us, therefore, you know, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, to put your trust in Him for eternity, but also to suffer for Him. Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now I hear, and now hear that I still have, Paul says. It has been granted to us to suffer for Christ. This is a part of our humility and our dependence upon God. Right? It's a sign to them that they will be destroyed. And it's not an alien thing that we suffer. It's been granted to us. It's a privilege. Because if you share with Him His sufferings, you will share with Him in His glory. You are eating of the Lord's plate. The Lord's plate has not only the promises of eternity, but it also has suffering here in this world, right? It's like if you're going to eat your lasagna, you got to eat your Brussels sprouts too. You can't just eat the lasagna and avoid the Brussels sprouts. You got to clean your plate. You see what I'm saying? So, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, now I want you to think about this, because we're going to talk about how Jesus became united of us in His suffering. You want to be united, you know, Jesus was united with us in our suffering before we received the promise of being united with Him in His glory. God made the first move in the fact that while we were yet His enemies, Jesus died for us, remember? So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's both in His sufferings and His glory, any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Our unity, you can see how it is dependent upon being united with Christ. Not each other, Christ. Our unity is not dependent upon us agreeing together. Our unity is upon us agreeing with God through Christ. By being united within Christ, we find our agreement with each other. In other words, it's not about us. See, do you understand that God is left out of the equation when people go about it that way? When they come together to try to solve their differences by discussion, and then one or the other must compromise for them to have unity, right? One or the other or both of them must compromise their views to find any kind of unity. See, that excludes God. See, the only way to find unity is for you to completely humble yourself before God through Jesus Christ, and for me to completely humble myself before God through Jesus Christ, and then we walk by what He says. That's where our unity is. That's where our agreement is. It's by agreeing with God first. This is why I always say, the problem isn't that we don't agree with each other. The problem is not enough of us agree with God. So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That's where our unity is, in the Spirit, right? Not of ourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And remember what I talked about the other day. You actually, when you do things out of selfish ambition, just for yourself, or vain conceit, where you're number one, then you actually start a tear in the body of Christ there, because you're removing yourself. When you're not in humility before God, you're not in unity. When you do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, you are causing a division simply by removing yourself. You're dividing the body of Christ, because that's who you claim you're of. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Wow. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to see how He has joined Himself to mankind, how He identified with us. God identified with us first, before we identified with Him. He identified with us in our sin before we could identify with Him in His glory. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, your attitude should be that of the same of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Now, this is where we get into that whole teaching of the mustard seed. You know, you've heard that if your faith was that of a grain of mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to be thrown into the sea, and it would be. And everybody has always thought that was talking about, well, if you just have a little bit of faith, because the mustard seed, it says in the parable, is the smallest of all seeds. But when it's planted, it grows to be the largest of all garden plants, and even the birds of the air nest in it. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the mustard seed. And He made Himself nothing. By taking on the form of a man, being in very nature God, He made Himself nothing, didn't He? He humbled Himself not only before His Father to do His will, even though He was equal with God. Remember, He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was equal with God, but He did not consider it something to be grasped. He humbled Himself. That's the point. He humbled Himself before His Father to do His will. He humbled Himself, even though His nature was very much God. He humbled Himself before angels to take on the form of a man, and He even humbled Himself before men in order to serve them. He made Himself nothing. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that He didn't. To consider others better than yourselves, and that's what He did as God. He became a man. He humbled Himself and made Himself nothing. And so when we talk about if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we're talking about that faith of humility where you are dependent upon God and not upon yourself. Jesus came down as a man, and He lived as a man dependent upon the Father. He never once called upon His own deity to do any of these things. He made Himself nothing. Can everybody see that? And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You should make yourself nothing. And it says He made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself to become obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, and gave Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, not just on the earth, but in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That, you remember, that's the dominion of Adam that's pictured in Christ. I mean, the dominion of Christ that's pictured in Adam. Fish of the sea, birds of the air, beasts of the field, that which is on the earth, beneath the earth, and above the earth. God has gave Jesus as the reality of that. because over the birds of the air, over all the angels, over the fish of the sea, all those that are in death, and on the land, you know, on the earth, the beasts of the field. God has given Jesus that dominion that is above the earth, beneath the earth, and on the earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And you become included in that when you humble yourself with Christ. As he is identified with you in your sorrow and in your sin, you can now identify with him in his eternal life. See, you were given that name simply because Jesus was given that name. Not because of what you did, but because you humbled yourself and considered others better than yourselves. Considered God's ways higher than your ways. And you humbled yourself to the place that God had placed you. And it's God who lifts you up and exalts you, not yourself. That's why it says, do nothing, get it? Do nothing out of vain, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do nothing out of those things. Because that separates you from that fellowship with Christ in his death, in his humility, and therefore in his glory. This is how you're counted with Christ. Jesus, who being in very nature God, humbled himself to become a man and suffer these things. And God exalted him as a man who pleased him. So y'all see the point. To be counted in Christ, to be included in Christ, you must make yourself nothing. You must consider others better than yourselves. See, that's unity. Get it? The unity of the faith is precipitated upon that humility. And that's the faith of a mustard seed. Get it? The faith of one who has made himself nothing, who is totally dependent upon God to grow. Though we be the smallest of all garden plants, of all seeds. Right? And see, it's small because it's small in men's sight. The spiritual things are small in men's sight. The big things are the ones that produce physically, right? Where it's about money and power. It's all about selfish ambition and vain conceit in the physical. But we're of the spiritual. And the spiritual is small in men's sight. It's nothing to them. It's just like throwing a pearl before a pig. Right? The pearl has no value to the pig. His God is his belly. We're giving something holy to a dog. It means nothing to him. His God is his belly. The carnal. The pig will just stomp that pearl into the ground like another rock and turn and attack you. It has no meaning, no value. For us, it has value. See, those are the people who, like a grain of mustard seed, they have the faith of the grain of mustard seed. Get it? We make ourselves nothing. We are in union with Christ, who made himself nothing. We are in union, and if we share in that union in his sufferings, we shall be brought to share in his glory by the power of God who exalts us and makes us into what he wants us to be, not ourselves. And that way, if you do have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, then you have the authority of heaven behind you. And you tell a mountain to be thrown into the sea, and it will. Get it? That's the faith of a grain of mustard. It's not about a small faith. It's about you being small. You making yourself nothing. Because those the people of that faith will. They will humble themselves even unto death, as Jesus did. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, not yourself, remember, not selfish ambition, vain conceit. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. See, that's humility, isn't it? So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice, and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. You too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. This is an awesome thing. I mean, think of where all this leads. To make yourself nothing. Because it'll be then that God who makes you. His power at work in you to will and to work. It's an awesome thing, man. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For all those who will make themselves nothing with Christ, this is what they will share in with Christ in that inheritance. This is why Jesus calls you brothers. This is what makes you worthy to be his brothers. As you have turned your back on taking for yourself. See, that's the thing about God, see? And this is why he wants you to emulate. Why Paul said, I know how to be abased and to abound. Right? He knows how to have nothing and to have everything. It makes no difference. Because he's still who he is by nature. And that's the way it is with God. It's the way it was with demonstrated in Jesus. It didn't matter if he left heaven and humbled himself and took on the form of a man and made himself nothing. He's still God. Nothing can change that. Get it? He can lay it all down, and nothing is going to be able to change the fact that he is God. No enemy is ever going to be able to overcome him. He can lay it all down and take it back up again. It makes no difference, because that's who he is. Jesus could lay it all down and have it appear that the devil's running all over him. It's just like you when you're a parent. You ever laid down with your children? And let them jump on you and act and let them feel like they were winning, you know, and then all of a sudden you got up and they seen how strong you really were. It made no difference, did it? Whether you were up walking around or whether you were laying down and letting them jump on you, you're still who you are. And they can't change that. And that's the way it is with God, and that's the way he wants us to be. Everything and nothing. To humble ourselves and make ourselves nothing, because it's God who makes us everything. He wants us to live that way. That even though we have the power to overcome, we do not use it in a way to destroy. We don't use it for selfish ambition or vain conceit. Even though we have the power to tell a mountain, be cast you into the sea. We only act upon God's will at what mountain should be cast and should not. You see what I'm saying? This is what we have a share in. And through faith, we share in that power of exaltation now. Through faith. Though we appear as nothing, we have everything. See, through faith, it's laying down when you know you don't have to. It's a choice. Faith is taking the abuse when you know you don't have to. But you do it for their sakes. Isn't that what Jesus did? There's so many directions this goes, but this is the true union we must be in with Christ. This is our true communion. To share in his sufferings is to share with him in his glory. To make ourselves nothing is to become like him. Because it's God who makes us so. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments? We'll get into the second part from 19. All the way into chapter 3, because the subject changes a bit. We'll get into that tomorrow night, Lord willing.